For the Monroe Public School Board of Education, today is June 13th, 2023. The time is 5:31. Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
I am here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachinova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here. Sorry.
Here.
Here. Could we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to discussionary items. I believe that would be you, Mr. Shaw.
All right, I appreciate that. So the first item we want to talk about tonight is a security grant purchase. In the state of Michigan, this year we were allocated just about $500,000 towards security. And that security can be used in a multitude of ways there, about $500,000. And so tonight what we're recommending to the board will be the Halo sensors. We put in all the bathrooms and throughout the buildings in our district. And the Halo sensor, and we're going to get into more of that here in a moment, but those Halo sensors are designed to pick up fighting, pick up vaping, pick up smoking, pick up gunshot, pick up sense even the air quality change and notify us there. So it's a very sophisticated system that would be put in our bathrooms, but rough speak, so if kids are in there arguing, that would be picked up. And so that is one of the items there. And then the hardware and servers for security cameras, which is for our buses, is the other item. So Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you kind of go through more in detail what this looks like.
Sure. Thank you, Andy. So as you as Andy stated, this is a security grant, and we're kind of tied in to our 3 to 4 year security refresh. So what our plan was 2 years ago was our cameras were anywhere back then 5 to 8 years old. So we knew we were getting to the point where our cameras needed to be replaced. We kind of diverted our funds and our attention from cameras to the access control and getting our doors secured the past few years. Now we need to loop back to the cameras. So last year we purchased cameras for our middle school. And when I talked to Andy earlier this spring, it's like, you know, what do we want to focus on the rest of this year's budget? Well, with this grant coming up, his wish was to get the secondary buildings done first. Yep. So a major part of this security grant we're going to use is to upgrade all the remaining cameras at the high school, and we may have enough left over to finish Orchard as well. So roughly, and Kevin's here as well to answer any questions on security or on the cameras. And security in general. But a major portion would be the upgraded cameras, which are going to get us better resolution. Servers, we're going to also coincide with this because as the cameras get better, the size of the video gets larger, and we try to, our board policy states that we want to keep at least 30 days archived. The other portion of this is, Andy mentioned, is the Halo sensors. All student bathrooms, I think it's 80 Halo sensors that would cover all student bathrooms in the district. The only ones that would not be included would be some of the lower L bathrooms that are in between the classrooms, the single stall bathrooms. But those would be done, which would cover, and we are piloting the Halo sensor currently at the high school in the bathrooms across from the auditorium. It's helped us with air quality alerts. We do get, like Andy mentioned, aggressive speak. If there's any yelling, we'll get an alert. It keys in on words like help, vaping, carbon monoxide. So there's a lot of sensors. We're piloting them, trying to get the levels right. So if we do, if this is approved, when we put these in, we'll have the base configuration where we want it. And Kevin, I don't know if you want to touch base. He's been working really closely. He's worked with our HVAC guys to adjust the fans to make sure we learned that our bathrooms didn't have the proper airflow in the evenings. The fans would shut down and our air quality alert would go high. So we worked to get that addressed. But if you want to touch base quick on the Halos.
Absolutely. As Dave was saying, the Halos provide a great service of alerting us of what's going on in those bathroom areas. So we've done some testing with them over the last few months in these two restrooms. received multiple valid alerts, which the high school's been able to act on. I don't know the total number of how many, but I know they've had multiple instances where they've been able to respond and find violations in that nature. But it also alerts us to tamper as well and to masking, which are the two other common things that you'll find. If somebody does know those sensors are there, they try to mess with it, we're gonna know, so that we can prevent damage of that equipment, as well as if people are trying to just like spray something to cover it up, to keep the sensor maybe from detecting properly as well. But we've had very good success, but as Dave said, we've been dialing them in. We've been working with our HVAC team here at Monroe Public Schools to get things working properly, to help improve the air quality in those areas, to help prevent false positives. Because we did have a lot of issues, especially with when things were being cleaned, and it would detect high levels of ammonia in the air because of the cleaners, and that would trigger some false positives. So we've had to adjust some settings and some sense of the sensors themselves to get them to more accurately give us notifications on valid instances of vape instead of so many false alarms.
So that from the vape to the smoking to the fighting that we've heard about that have in the bathrooms, this is a step in the direction where we're not putting people in the bathrooms, because you can imagine what you would hear from kids if we had the recommendation of some parents where you station people inside them. The cameras are integral because they're outside the bathrooms in the hallways, and so when the kids walk out, we're actually notified that something was triggered in that bathroom. It marks it on that camera, so then we're watching to see who those students were that came out at that point in time. And then the administration does what they typically do, which is the investigation. So if one child walks out, it makes it kind of easy. When two walk out or three, then it's a whole nother ball game there. But what that would eliminate is the other part, though, is that the fighting side of it that we hear about is it doesn't stop it right out of the blocks. But after the students all know that they can't go in the bathroom fight because within a few moments, you know, they're already caught, that should become a deterrent there. But kids are kids. There's no guarantee on what they will deem to be a deterrent.
So that would help us with our bullying then, because that's where they say most of this happens.
Or we end up having the fight club occurring because that's what they want to go do.
Fight club.
Yeah, and so it helped there. The documents that are being purchased, it's on your page 141 in your board book, was middle school, high school, the high school cameras that are in there is 191, middle school camera hardware is 10, video insight services 3, bus equipment hardware is 25. So what this grant actually permits us to do is to redo the bus cameras and keep us on the same system with our internal system we have for viewing of cameras, be the same system for our buses. So our administration isn't having to learn two different systems, and allows that discipline to go back in, to go into the building and be handled by the administration there. So the grant is affording us that opportunity at this point in time to make those updates, because at some point in time, cameras always have to be updated, and so we get to actually do this through the grant rather than through our general fund. So are there any questions on what's being recommended tonight around the school safety?
Is there any way we can keep things more than 30 days? I mean, that's rather short, especially if we don't have a disciplinary.
There's a possibility. I mean, we don't delete anything, but we try to make sure when you look at the math on how much video, the time, how much motion you're going to get, we try to do a minimum of 30 days.
Because so, I think with the buses now, I mean, granted, it's a pain in the rear, get those hard drives out, but we have a pretty long period of time that we can retain information.
The buses are a little bit different because the NVR on each bus is 2 terabyte, so that should more than handle a month. But again, you're on a bus, you're recording constantly, and you have 4 to 5 cameras, so we would just have to be careful if we offloaded that to our main core servers, how much space we would have. So it really depends on the movement. You know, these new cameras do take more. Now, granted, the other buildings don't have new cameras yet, but we did try to, Kevin did a good job working with the engineers to figure the math and give us a worst case so we have some scalability, some growth within that. So like I say, we're doing 30 days now, and the servers we're buying are much more storage. The process, they're just way better. So the equipment's newer, we're going to have that flexibility, but we would have to be careful if we put it in writing that we're going to do, let's say, 60 days. Well, you would have to expand our infrastructure to handle that.
I think that where your question actually refers to is, once we identify it, we pull it down, we're saving it. It's greater than 30 days. So it's when we know something's happened, we're already keeping it for a long time, rather than learning at day 31 that something happened, that ability to go back and getting to it isn't as likely.
Because I was just thinking about that discipline we were hearing we had some time ago, and then at that point we couldn't pull a camera, but
We were already, even when that information came out, it was information that was like from the fall. So it was well even past that point that they're bringing that up. So yeah, so that video that way. But when that's the other part, that's with the Halo, it's all coming together like one big system, to where it's being ran directly through our each building office. Mm-hmm. So then that way, when we hear and they know, they can grab that video and see it. So it won't be, it won't be. It doesn't resolve every single thing, but it puts us in a much better light. There, where we're not worried about, okay, did it record the video? Do we have the video? Where is it at? It's those administrators have their ability to get their hands on it right away.
I think the Halo system should be really advantageous for us.
What we're trying to actually predict is, where will the kids go next? That's honestly what we're trying to figure out. I was like, okay, well, we've eliminated now the bathrooms. We're eliminating other areas. So where are they heading to next? And we'll learn and address those next areas then. But
music rooms, right, Mary?
That's what she said.
If I may, I have some. I did some research into this, and I looked up people-driven technology, because that's the organization that's doing it. And their pitch point—I call it a pitch point—it is what they had on their website of who they are as a company. It stated they're tightly integrated and secure infrastructure built into scale, leveraging holistic automation. So that's the purpose of this organization, and that's what their technology is sent to do. And through this discussion, I think that became very clear that is the intent, and that's what it is. It does talk about quality air alerts, and it does monitor the amount of carbon dioxide which is in the air. And what's the other one? Nitrous?
Nitrogen as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we know carbon dioxide comes from people, so it's looking at the amount of people and stuff in a room. So when you look at all the technology this can do, it really is a surveillance system. It's set up with the cameras and the technology to surveil. There's a lot of people that support that type of a programming and are looking at a complete surveillance system. I'm not one of them, but I just wanted to point out that is the goal and that is the purpose and that's what it's for. So,
is it carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide?
Dioxide.
It's dioxide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pulled it up.
Dioxide.
It's dioxide.
Okay. So the other thing is what you have to look at in the project there.
And monoxide. It does.
Well, it does dioxide. I didn't write them all down I have.
Somebody mentioned,
because if equipment failure was releasing, that would detect.
I'm just reading what the company says that they do and what their purpose is to leverage on holistic automation.
Right, but I want to bring clarity there that CDW, People Driven and Red Letter are the companies bidding to do the work. Mm-hmm. They're just a vendor that's supplying the hardware. So, for example, the Halo sensor we're talking about is the product that all three companies are going to get.
Yeah, they're not making that.
They're not equipment. Making.
They're just
buying. I understand. Oh, yeah, they're just a supplier of it. In fact, they purchased in 21. They purchased another technology company, and they got all of their technology, which allowed them to build out to be able to be a supplier of what they're supplying today. But that's the headline on this paper. So the Halos are coming. They advertise them through their company.
Right.
I mean, they sell the product.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they support the product. So, right. And you know. Just on a side note, when you think about, when I was thinking about what this is, you know, we look at literature, and literature is a great input into society. Like, you know, literature, I always believe that you learn more from literature of a time frame than whatnot. And then there's some literature that's just interesting, and I think 1984 was interesting with Orwell fitting the motto of this company, leveraging holistic automation. That was just a side note.
Dave, I do have a question. The cameras that we're replacing, the age of them and the new ones we're buying, I'm assuming, are a lot more megapixels, so you can do a lot better zoom.
Yeah, to give you an example, like we're at 2 and we're going to 5, or 2 to 5. So right now, if you're in the hallway at the high school and you see a fight or you see an incident, you know, you can't get the level that these will do. It will be like night and day.
That's kind of
what I figured.
The quality,
the clarity to see things. So it's much better cameras.
And I'm assuming better audio?
We don't have audio in the buildings currently. They will be on the buses. They have the adapter to add the microphone and the capability.
Okay.
If we wanted to do that in certain areas.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
But we do have it on the buses, you say, Dave?
The buses will have audio.
Yeah.
A couple of questions. In addition to carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, what else from a, chemical or atmospheric can it pick up? Because I think kind of popular in some places, nitrous oxide kids are, you know, inhaling. Is it called puffing or something like that?
Yeah, so it does the nitrogen. I'm not familiar with that new stuff, but I know if it's not sure, you'll get an alert. That's the thing. Because some of our custodians' cleaning materials are triggering the alert. So we had to look at the camera, then see what was going on, or if they were playing music, or the kids were just excited at what, you know. So that's why it's given us a chance to really narrow in the features.
Okay.
But in the end, I'd rather have a couple false positives and find out, you know what I mean? Specifically, the carbon monoxide, if there's an equipment failure in a building, I mean, that's deadly if you didn't know about it. I mean, like in their home, I have them in my home because of that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, they do a lot more than what we intended them for, so. Okay.
And where are they physically? Are they physically located on the ceiling?
They're about the size of that LED light up there.
Oh, okay.
So it's real flat and flush up in the ceiling, and it's connected to one data port.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
And the cameras, and just the replace, what we'll do with the refresh, so this will be year 2 of a 3 to 4 year refresh, depending on funding. So because we'll take a lot of these cameras, we'll test them, and then they'll be reutilized at a school if one breaks. We have a few that the sun has kind of faded the domes in them, and they're just damaged. They've been hit. There's a lot of stains from outdoor weather. So they're wore out. We need to replace a few other areas in the district as well.
So it'll be repurposed.
All of them
just
will be
like the Chromebooks.
Yeah,
the
Chromebooks.
Yep. Nope.
Chromebooks are part of this.
You know what I find interesting? Back in the day, it was smoking when we went to school, and we were able to stop smoking in school, and you were able to stop people smoking on grounds without high surveillance technology. It just...
Yeah. Some.
Just a note, some of us old people remember when smoking was a thing.
Oh, we're not old.
Yeah.
Sure.
The big difference is now, though, you can't detect and or see the vape happening. And
I'm not going to buy that. You know that.
There. But when you're standing by a bathroom, you can't smell it. Like, you can smell smoke. You walk by a bathroom. So it's just a spot where we have to find a way because we've got kids that are just not stopping. I think the other point, though, goes back to we've had quite a few times where kids have come to us about our situation where we've got the fighting happening in the bathrooms.
The bullying.
And so this is a way that we can address that same time too.
Another thing we're hoping it's going to help is what do kids do when they're in the bathroom and they have a vape in their hand? They flush it down the toilet. And maintenance has spent a lot of time and money during clogs at the high school. So we're hoping by them knowing that they can't do it, that'll reduce that as well.
I completely understand what the purpose, and I understand what you're trying to do and all the needs you're trying to meet. I'm just not for a surveillance system. I mean, it's just simple as that.
That's cool.
Appreciate it. So the next item we have on there, which is the middle school PA system. So Just a couple weeks ago, Tom reached out to myself and asked if he and if Dave could do a dive into looking at just the cost of replacing the middle school, not doing anything else, and what that looked like. And so we were able to sit down with Tom and go over that and what that scope then would appear to look like. And you see, and so from that conversation, it's about $375,000 for that work at the middle school to happen. So
are we going to address the table motion?
We're going to address all of it right now.
Okay, thank you.
Because there's
only because you made me parliamentarian, and I just want to share the rules.
Yep. So, well, let's go ahead and address the tabling of the of an item and all of that. So, Darla, all yours.
So, all I'm doing is sharing the research that I found because I always want to make sure we're doing things the right way. I mean, that's I think that's why you put me in this position. So, what is the definition of a table of motion? It needs to be seconded. It cannot be amended. Requires a majority vote. And it kills a motion, and it isn't debatable. And so a motion on the table dies if it's not taken from the table by the close of the next regular business meeting. So if we look over the process and how it played out, Larry recognized that the main motion has been voted down. So that motion was represented in its same form, had previously been voted down by the board. So it was put back on the agenda, and then it was tabled. In order to have something tabled, all you need is someone to make the motion in the correct way, which Larry did, and have it seconded, of which it was. Then you need a majority vote, and the vote was 4-3 to table that motion. So that kind of put it where it was. And the purpose of the table of motion was to gain more information, is what I had listed out. That's what we believe is accurate. So tell me if I'm putting anything inaccurate out there. So what happened next? Go ahead.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So the motion that was tabled was the discussion where we were talking about the Monroe Middle School PA system plus the Knabush PA system plus, was there a third location?
It was an entire package.
Edmond and Fenmore. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the motion that was tabled, voted to table, or had a second to table.
And then voted and passed, yes.
Okay. It was tabled to get more information.
Okay, I think that's what I.
Okay.
So when you table a motion, like I said, it has to be brought up at that very next, that same meeting, because when you're tabling it, you're saying, okay, we're going to address this later in the meeting. There's something more important that we need to have time to, but there's a different reason why you can table a motion. So in this purpose, I think we already identified it was to gain more information. But once a motion's tabled, it has to be readdressed at the next official meeting. So the motion was tabled on May 9th. Prior to that, the motion was voted on and it was did not pass. Then the motion was reintroduced and it got tabled on May 9th. The very next meeting was May 23rd. And based on Robert's rules, that would have been the meeting that that table motion would need to be addressed. And so the way this is, I'm going to explain it to you. This is the way I'm tabling this motion. Someone has to pick that up off the table to readdress it. So you literally say, I'm taking that off the table. So it's like physically saying, I'm taking this off the table and I want it to be readdressed. And then that would require a vote and whatnot to do it. But the time frame was May 23rd, and that didn't get met. The only way a time frame could be extended to a quarter is if you're doing, like, what's a quarter, 3 months, is if you don't have regular meetings, and the meeting would have to inquire within the quarter. But we don't have that problem because we have meetings regularly. So no motion was made to take it from the table. And it says, while the question's on the table, any motion or action subject to that would in any way affect the table. So it kills it. I even looked at Congress, like, what do they do? And you look up the definition of what it means to table and all of that. In parentheses, it essentially says it kills a motion. The motion is dead. The motion can't be brought back up. So this would be the second time. So the motion got declined first. It got tabled. The table never got addressed. So the motion, essentially, this is the third time the motion has went down.
But the motion has actually been changed. We're not voting on this. We're not even looking at the same motion at this point.
It says any parts of that motion and anything that was concluded in it. So that was the language that was done, was all parts of that motion, because it was already voted down once. And Larry recognized that when he brought it up and said, this has already been down once. We're bringing it back. We voted to table it. It never got readdressed, so the motion can't be brought back up. Yeah. Or the components of it. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what the rules are. So it's very important when we're looking at stuff, when we want stuff on the agenda or we want stuff to be addressed, especially when we table a motion. I'm finding out that's very rare. From all my research, it's not something that's typically done. It's not something that is typically, because it is so time element and it's so particular. Like, essentially, if it gets tabled, it can't be brought back up again. And that's exactly what happens in Congress. There were congressional cases where someone didn't follow and the speaker didn't put it back on the agenda in a timely manner. The motion's dead. It's dead in the water. It can't be brought back up. So I'm not telling you, I'm just sharing with you my research, the rules. It makes absolute sense when you go through why you wouldn't particularly table a motion. So it says any part of that, and that was a complete package. So how the board handles that from here, I guess, is what it is. I'm just sharing the information. And that would include the Monroe Middle School, because that was part of that motion.
Maybe just looking at this, the way you define it, any part of the motion, in reality, the motion that was put forth was, it was not split into parts. The Monroe Middle School was part of a whole.
Right.
So
the whole thing is down.
So the whole thing was tabled, and then basically it gets rejected.
It gets killed.
Bring it off.
It dies.
So Monroe Middle School was not a separate part. It was part of the whole.
Right.
So now we're going to introduce a new motion specifically for the Monroe Middle School.
If you look at
a different cost and from a different fund.
I'm just sharing with you the rules.
So
the way it works.
A new motion.
It is a new motion.
But you can't bring, and again, I'm just sharing you, like I ad nauseum spent so much time on this, researching it from 1,000 different ways, mm-hmm. because it is a very particular situation. That's why you don't table a motion very seldom. Very, very seldom would you ever do that, because of this kind of circumstance. Because whatever's in that motion is dead. It can't be brought back up. And that motion was an entire package deal. So if we don't want to follow the rules, I guess the board can decide on their own whether they want to follow the rules or not follow the rules. I'm just sharing the rules. Don't beat up the sender of the rules.
Yeah, I guess the question for me would be, you know, if we were going to hire a principal and we said we were going to table this motion about that particular principal, we're still going to hire a principal down the road. So, I mean,
I think we've understood that there are many of us sitting here that did not understand how the Roberts rules work, did not understand what a tabling a motion means, what it means to get it off the table. So this is a very big learning lesson. So in the future, I'm going to guess we would never table a motion that included hiring a principal that was needed for a school. So, again, what you want to do with this is up to the board.
I think this is your interpretation of it. In my mind, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, this is a new motion. This is something totally different. If we brought this package back exactly as it was, I would agree with you on that.
So,
but we've separated it out. We have to put a PA system in this building. I can't sit here and say in good faith, we're never going to put a PA system in. That makes no sense to me at all. None.
So, Larry, I can understand, but all I'm doing is sharing the rules.
I understand.
Like, I'm not interpreting them. I'm just sharing them. If we are going to follow Robert's rules, and we are going to follow the rules on what you do with the table motion, you can pull up the Robert's rules yourself.
You can go through congressional rules.
You can go through anything. There is a specific pattern to it. If we don't want to follow the rules, we're going to have to vote or do something to undo what's already been done. But the way it's been done, that motion is dead and everything associated with it is dead.
That motion is dead. I will agree with you on that. This is a different motion.
This is a new motion.
It's the same content. I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you the way it works.
I'm just bringing to the board that on May 9th, on page 4 of those notes, it says, we tabled that motion until such time that a board has the opportunity to come up with a list from the architect in regard to priorities and needs. Now, there was a reason to table it. We were looking for more information, and if it were known that we could never address it again, I'm sure it wouldn't have been written or suggested or motioned in that manner.
Well, again, it's a learning lesson. What you would do is you would postpone it. And a postponement is completely different in the way it acts as with a tabled. This board tabled it. You can't bring up a portion of it.
It's a verbiage. It's a vocabulary part there. And so to your point, though, then we have to figure out, one, how to resolve it.
Exactly. I'm just pointing it out.
Larry would be correct is that if we didn't even do it now, at some point in time in the future, that middle school needs a new PA. So this situation would always sit there then. So we need to address this. That's the only item I think we've tabled as a group.
And I'm going to guess that we're probably going to be very cautious to ever do this again.
Learning is not a bad thing.
Right.
So with that, Tom, let's allow Tom to talk about what...
So we're going to go ahead and discuss portion of that amendment without addressing the table issue.
Well, because at the end of the day, as a conversation would happen, we may not even need to. Because it could be through just a conversation around the table that there's not even... It would never get voted on.
Well, I think we need to deal with the table issue first. I mean, it's point of order as to how the meeting goes. I mean, I know what I'm finding is right.
Yeah, so that would just take a motion by a board member during the during the meeting to suspend and or it's basically what you would have to do also with board policy. You have the right and ability to suspend a board policy if you needed to due to some circumstance.
Well, we're going to have to do something, but we can't just say we're not going to follow the rules because we arbitrarily don't want to. Larry, do you have any input since you're the one that tabled it?
We elected you parliamentarian. Do your job.
All right.
Well, this is a work session, so there's really no voting happening in this place.
No, but you're going to...
We should still hear about...
Yeah, so you're going to still, though, what you'd have to do, though, is based on... You have, if I'm hearing it right, you got two options. One is to just say, we're going to go forward the way it is, and so be it, doesn't matter. Or you're going to need to have a motion that says we're going to either acknowledge that we didn't follow the tabling process correctly, and we're going to put this back on the table to be addressed tonight. So that's one way you could handle it. So that way you're calling out.
I still think
it's a new motion.
Yeah.
We'd have to find the rules that apply.
How you interpret it, because the PA for the Monroe Middle School was never broken out as a line item in that motion. It was an overall $698,000 for four from the sinking fund. It was the sticking point. So we never broke out the Monroe Middle School. So you can't really technically say that was a part of it. It was a whole that we tabled the whole thing. You understand?
Well,
Monroe Middle School at 375, Fenmore at this, for a total of 698, I would maybe agree with you. But we never broke out the Monroe Middle School as a separate line item.
But it's included in that motion.
I think one of the main reasons that was tabled is because we weren't sure if we could even do the PA system at Knabusch Center.
It doesn't matter why it was tabled. The fact is it was tabled, and if we're going to follow parliamentary rules,
I still think it's
then we
that
have
we should
to
all know
do
the rules before we play the game.
Amen. There you go, sister. That's the answer.
Put a practical point in there. Funding. Coming out of the bond funding, it does not need our approval because it's been approved by the state. Do we need to bring it up?
We need to vote on it at all.
According to the purchasing policy, according to our purchasing policy, because that is over the threshold, it does require board approval. Even though the state has approved the projects that we included on the on the ballot for the election to approve the bond millage, It still requires board approval based on the threshold that's outlined in our policies.
But the stuff in the bond, I mean, we've spent how many millions last year? We approved a lot of that, but we didn't approve all of it, Cassie.
All the projects you guys did approve.
We approved the projects, but not each individual contract.
You did approve all the contracts. You approved, you guys already, the board already approved the contract with Clark for the bond work and the contract with Kohler. You guys approved using PFM as our investment manager. The board approves all the projects that come out of the bond because they are all over the threshold of the purchasing policy.
But each work.
Each bid pack is approved by the board.
Well, what Clark did, okay, we didn't approve each individual item. Yes, we approved him. We approved a lot of them. We approved Romanoff. We approved, one of those, but we didn't approve all of them.
Is there a certain contractor that you're referring to? Because you.
A lot of stuff that Clark was over. We didn't approve, for example, a lot of the change orders. They were in excess of the $25,000. Look at that addition we did. Was it Arbor Day? We put the addition on the front. We didn't approve that. There's a change order.
I would have to look at the records in the superintendent's office.
We had like 44 change orders. Talk to Clark on that. Yeah, I don't think we approved 44 change orders, Cassie. I just don't think we did.
I think it would depend on the amount of the individual change order. As well, in the whole of all the change orders on that particular project may have been over the threshold, but individually they may not have been.
Well, a lot of them did.
And I know for a fact that the board has approved some change orders because there was a large change order for the GV painting that was approved by the board.
We did some, but I mean, I think when we talked to, or when I talked to Dave last, and this was like in the fall yet, I mean, there was like 44 change orders, and that's what he said was increasing our cost. We did not approve 44 change orders. I'm sorry, we just didn't do it.
I can certainly follow up with Clark and request from them as far as who authorizes the change, because someone at the district had to sign off on the change orders.
Construction person, I think.
But nevertheless, this item is over the purchasing threshold and would require board approval, is what I was trying to get at, regardless of which fund it's in.
So on this one, though, Guy, I believe, though, again, this is for the transparency side, the clarity side, is that in the regular board meeting, it's on the agenda right there. At that point in time, you could just, through the motion, if, you know, is that you would just come, you can state that, per your understanding of a table, that this item, we should have never tabled it, and because it would have killed it, so we don't, and just call out possibly that tabling item, so that way it's, you know, at least calling it out.
So we just want to say, whoops, we made a mistake?
Well,
that's not very professional.
No, you're not.
That doesn't follow Robert's rules.
You got two, you either got to call it out, or you got to come up another way, otherwise you're going to violate Robert's rules.
You got to be able to bring it back. I still say it's a different motion.
So here's why I'm at with it.
Board meeting or not?
Here's why I'm at with it. The reason I brought it up is because the topic is being brought up. We're addressing the exact same motion that not only got voted down once, got tabled, and never got addressed again. I mean, that's pretty whammies to that motion. But again, if we as a board are going to say we made a mistake, then I think we have to look at that, because you're not allowed to say, oops, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have tabled a motion. We shouldn't have got it seconded, and everybody shouldn't have voted to table that motion. That's a big process, and that's what we do here. So if we undo this one, are we going to have the ability to undo other motions that are voted on and passed and arbitrarily?
See, I don't think
that's what you open up.
I don't think that holds water, because
I don't think it does either.
The reason that we would be admitting that we've done something incorrectly is because we did something incorrectly. We're not going back to re-vote on the thing that was presented at the May 9th meeting. Mm-hmm. We're going to say, we are human beings. We are learning along with you. We made a mistake in using the wrong terminology instead of...
You didn't make a mistake.
Oh, well.
That's what he wanted to do.
Well, then, as a parliamentarian, why didn't you say we had a tabled motion last meeting? We need to either address that. But you're...
I don't make the agenda. What it had to have been done is it would have had to have been put on the agenda under...
Old business?
It wasn't, they don't call it old business. Robert's Rules doesn't call it that. They call it something else.
Yeah.
Let me ask one question here. Do you believe this is the same motion?
No, this is.
Do you believe it's the same motion?
So you're taking a vote?
Do you believe it's the same motion?
Wait.
No, I'm just asking people their opinion.
That's a vote. You told me we can't do that before.
We can't ask opinions.
We can ask opinions.
So, okay.
That's what I'm asking here.
Okay, so all I want to know is, in my job as parliamentarian, my job is to let you know what the rules are. And in letting you know the rules, I have to identify when you're violating those rules.
Right.
So what we're doing right now is a further violation of the Roberts Rules. So
what you got there, Scott?
Bylaws and policy. 0131.1, bylaws and policies. Those bylaws and policies which are not dictated by the statutes or rules of the State Board of Education or ordered by the Superintendent of Public Instruction or a court of competent authority may be adopted, amended, and repealed at any meeting of the board, except that the board may, upon a vote and where compelling reason exists, cause to adopt, amend, or suspend bylaw or policy contained herein, provided the amendment, adoption, or suspension does not conflict with any law. I think it's our responsibility.
That's not talking about a motion.
It is talking about bylaw and policy and what we're doing. And I think as a board, we have a responsibility to do the right thing, period, as to our intent. This obviously was not to our intent, and acknowledge it as something that occurred and that we are correcting.
So that had nothing to do with a motion. Motions fall under Robert Rules. They don't fall under bylaws. So
they fall under policy.
No, this isn't a policy. This is a Robert's Rules in the way that we conduct meetings, the way that we make motions, the way that we put stuff on. That's where this stuff comes from. It's not an actual policy. To say that Larry made a mistake in tabling the motion, I think is unfair to one of our board members in declaring that he had made an error. And then it would be to say this person that seconded it made it an error, and the people that voted on it made it an error.
But here's the deal. At the end of the day, if we don't figure out how to, based on your term, what you reflected on here, is that a motion for Monroe Middle School PA system for this building and or for the other two could never happen.
That's all I'm doing.
So we have to,
like, in Congress, like, literally, that's what happens. It's dead. It can't be brought up again.
The government brings things up. Yeah. I can guarantee you they will bring it up in a way that they'll get it passed.
Okay, look, I'm just telling you, like, I'm not sure why you're mad at me, but
because I don't think anybody here sees that it's the same motion except for you.
I'm just reading the rules.
I understand you're reading the rules, and we're telling you.
So you're telling me that the rules are wrong.
You're looking at them one way.
Did you look at the rules? Who else here read the rules on tabling a motion under Robert's Rules of Order? I mean, I'm just asking clearly.
So
I mean,
you're telling me I'm
wrong. You're telling I'm wrong. So what I would rather prefer is if you want to look it all up and everybody wants to look them up and bring that back to the table, you're more than welcome to do so. But you made me parliamentarian to share the rules, to read the rules to you, to research this. I spend hours doing this sometimes. I want to get it right. I make sure what I bring forth to you, I'm not reading 5 pages of notes because y'all would like lose your mind if I read every single rule that applied to this. I wrote down what the most applicable stuff was. I documented where I got the information from, and I'm sharing it with you. That's my job as parliamentarian. As president, you have your own authority and your own job and ability to do what you want. But I'm not going to say that this was a mistake, and I'm not going to say that it was done wrong. It was done, and now we have to deal with it. So that's where I'm at.
So, okay. So what is a resolution that we could have?
That was my next question.
According to tabling a motion, nothing, it's dead. That's the end of the story in Robert's Rules. It's dead. Because it didn't get brought up in a timely fashion. It didn't get pulled off the table, and it can't lay on the table for more than the next consecutive meeting. So again, I understand what this motion is, but All I'm sharing with you are the rules. If we are following the rules, these are the rules. It dies. Like, I underlined it every time I wrote it. It's dead. It kills it. It's whatnot. Bylaws and policies are not motions. So I don't want to know why everybody's all upset with me just because I'm sharing you my research. Like, you can unmake me parliamentarian. I mean, so, that's something you could do.
No, I think that you're mistaken our opinions for dislike. It's not that we don't. Right. It's not that we dislike
No, it's not
you.
That you dislike me because that's irrelevant. What I'm saying is the information I'm providing you, don't tell me I'm wrong when you don't have any reference to say that, okay, here's how you're wrong. Okay.
So what we've had in school system in the past, it's interpretation of contracts. Any of us that have ever worked with contracts, everyone interprets a contract, and you can look at it and take it a different way. And so what we're hearing is the way you've interpreted the Robert's rules for this. I've heard other board members speak that, no, that's not how they're interpreting it. So,
but they didn't actually read the rules.
They're interpreting what you said.
Right. Oh.
Okay.
And I would think that the bylaws supersede Robert's rules. No. For example, not every board uses
We do not
Robert's
follow
rules.
Robert's rules 100%, I do not believe, do we?
Right. And well, Robert's
the
rules aren't a law.
The policy is written very ambiguous, and when
we're getting the policy
became parliamentarian,
right now.
I asked you about that and said, what are the Robert's rules that we do follow and don't follow? And I never got a response back from anybody. So I'm going with
that. Robert's rules are more of
them.
A procedure, a way of doing a protocol.
Like laying in, a table in a motion.
We really need to decide this motion tonight. I mean,
so
I think that we still need to hear what the presentation is. It's not a motion, even so. It's a work session to hear about the MMS PA system or purchase, is what it's in the work session. Yeah. It's not a motion. It's not on the table. It's not off the table. It's just a presentation, and we haven't heard anything about it.
Agreed.
So are we going to have the same argument in the board meeting?
I would argue right now that Robert's Rules of Order are not a requirement of this body. It says so in our policy. It says may use.
Yes.
Of order.
Yes. May be
used. Can you read that to us, Larry?
It says, the parliamentarian authorization governing the Board of Education may be Robert's Rules of Orders, newly revised in all cases in which it is not inconsistent with the statute of the administration code or these bylaws.
Right. So as parliamentarian, I would like someone then to clarify to me what rules we are and aren't following so we don't fall in this situation again. That would be helpful to me.
I think what it says is we are doing our best and using it to do our best to try to maintain order in what we do. But may also indicates that when it's not working for us, we don't need to necessarily go that route.
Doesn't have to be followed 100%.
And we're human, and sometimes we make mistakes, and maybe that was a mistake.
Larry, did you make a mistake?
I don't make mistakes.
Thank you, Larry.
Well,
I do, and I believe I suggested that idea to begin with.
And you have four newish board members that weren't part of the, I guess, the game. We didn't know the rules. We didn't have that piece of information.
But that's our.
We wouldn't have voted in that way. I'm not sure.
But that's our job as board members, to educate ourselves so that we know what it is and what it works out. So my job as parliamentarian is to educate us on the process as well, which is exactly what I've done.
David, I'd love to see your presentation.
Well, it's actually Tom's presentation.
Yes. Tom.
Tom, talk to us.
I'll give Dave some time, too. Okay.
Very nice to you, Dave. He's going to give you some
speech. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so to kind of rehash a little bit, you know, Dave and his team had brought to us to upgrade the PA systems in four facilities, Monroe Middle School, Fenmore Labs, the Ad Building, and also Knabush Center. And that was funding was to be taken from the sinking fund at a tune of roughly $698,000, which I think we all had a little bit of concern because we didn't understand from Kohler exactly how much money we had in the sinking fund versus what's been committed. And really, a lot of the discussion was the sinking fund was really not the appropriate fund to bring that from. It was the bond fund which have been approved for this these type of programs. So I got with Dave and Andy and requested them to break out just the middle school because it is the only facility that hadn't been upgraded that had a significant number of students. I mean, Knabush has a handful. The others are really just admin or bus drivers. So I think it was important, plus the fact that the middle school, I think, is given the age group, it's important that we have an enhanced PA system, the same as the others. And there's other minor improvements, such as spare parts, the fact that the current system is pretty out of date, difficult to get parts. So I wanted to really push forward with the Monroe Middle School. And then later, after we understand better from Kohler, then we can look at the other facilities. So he came back with an actual quote for $375,000, roughly, to complete the Monroe Middle School. And if I understand, Dave, and jump in here, that really you've already done some pre-work to the tune of about $169,000?
That is correct. A couple years ago, we ran the cabling for each classroom, and some of the areas we knew a speaker would go. And then previously, a couple months ago, through E-Rate, we purchased the switches and the power supplies that would handle the PoE demands of the new system.
Yeah. So a lot of the work is already done, $375,000 to really purchase the PA system and complete the installation. And at that amount, we feel comfortable that can be taken from the bond fund, yes, which is what the original intent of the bond fund is. So really would like to get that done. That way all of our major school buildings are complete. And we can discuss the rest later after Kohler has given us an update.
Thanks for your presentation, Tom.
Anything to add?
I would just say that looking at what we requested from Clark and the middle school and the high school were averaged at about $3 a square foot. So that came to around $413,000 just to purchase the system. That doesn't count the abatement or any of the cabling, where this price at $375,000 would be everything. So we're actually under budget, plus all the abatement of the old cabling, non-Pletum cabling, all that would be cleaned out. So this would be a turnkey solution, where with the other bond projects, we went behind them to abate the old cables, ran the push-button cabling and the data cables. So it's a very good price. I just like to say that.
Yeah, the budget was $413,000, and we're coming in at $375,000.
Yeah, ask a question, because I thought about this a lot after the original presentation. What is the importance of this in terms of safety and security at the school?
So there's different ways to look at it. I think the one is the communication directly to the classroom that doesn't require someone to pick up a phone or a radio. It's for sure it can't be tampered with, or a phone could be unplugged. It's harder to tamper with. So it's direct communication from the classroom to the office or the office to the classroom. It also helps with your daily routine of the bell schedule. With the new system, it can be changed, snow days, half days. Currently, during M-STEP, bells were going off because they adjusted the schedule, but the system's so old, they couldn't change it. Also, the panic buttons, there's two buttons in each room that can be programmed for whatever we choose. They push a button, it rings the office. It can ring the liaison officer, emergency services. Future, it ties in the whole mass notification. So one of the things Kevin's working on is building a map at each facility. So if a button's pushed, you can immediately see what's going on, what happened, who pushed the button, what area of the building. First responders could see that. Plus, the new system is nice because it comes with a handset that we can pre-program emergencies. Tornado warning, boom. You push one button, fire alarm, lockdown. It can automatically say on each of the messages, strobe lights, flash, noise, music. Everything can be pre-programmed, so during an incident, you don't really have to think too much. It's simply just push a button or a couple of buttons, and you have let people know to get shelter, take whatever they got to do. So it just updates the traditional PA system with a lot of new features as well. But buildings rely on a PA system. I mean, you can ask Ms. Joseph, as far as routine, lunch, just a regular bell schedule is very important for the operation of a school.
Thank you.
And that mass notification that you're talking about with the tornado, for example, that would allow us to communicate to all the buildings at once.
So we would take what we're doing in each building, and then it would be overlaid so key areas of the district can initiate those same type of issues or warnings from anywhere. So Fenmore, this building could initiate a lockdown and the nice thing about the new system is, for instance, the middle school, where the old system, it was call every room or call one room, where now we can do fourth floor, third floor. You could do A-wing, lower B-wing. It's every speaker can be grouped into zones. So it gives us more flexibility or creativity. You could say, hey, the track team's practicing in upper A-wing. It's 5 o'clock. Just call upper A-wing without alerting the whole building. So yeah, there's a lot of cool features that we can start utilizing with that tie in, as Andy said, with the whole security umbrella.
No, I'll be blunt. I'm thinking in terms of mass shooter event. Every second counts. Mm-hmm. And I love that feature of being able to press a button, you know where the issue is.
Cassie, you may know this question. Did Senate Bill 63 get passed? That was the one on the school security improvement. It was the new rules on it.
I haven't seen communication one way or the other, but I'm not.
I thought it passed. That's why I wrote a note in here a while back about it. And I'm just going to read it for clarification. It's Senate Bill 63. And it's related to school improvement, and it says it does not include personnel costs or operation costs related to a capital improvement or purchase or related to a mobile telephone application. So I just want to make sure that if that did get signed and that did go through, that we're abiding by that, because I don't know what's all included in this, only because it was in my notes.
In regards to the security purchase or the PA system?
It says school security improvement. That's how the bill was written.
What was the
right
bill?
I'm asking.
The bill was Senate number 63.
Right. I'm asking for your question. Are you referring to the work that we're doing for the security purchase or to the PA system?
Isn't it all together what Tom's presenting right now?
No, those are two separate things.
So you're presenting two things right now?
No.
No, just the PA system.
The security purchase was already presented on before you began, you guys, the board began the discussion about the PA system. Those are two separate items.
Security, okay. Halo. Yeah, I'm just mentioning it to make sure we're following law. So it'd be Senate Bill 63.
The
so
security grant.
All you Googlers will find it, I'm sure.
The security grant that we are requesting that be purchased from is out of the State Aid Act. And it is permissible to use that for a very broad definition of things. Pretty much anything that the district can justify as would improve safety of the students or staff or community that's in the buildings is permissible under that provision.
I just mention it to make sure that we're aware that there was a
sure
bill. Did it go through?
That's why where the $500,000 came from.
Yeah. So this grant is we're already receiving those funds under a different provision.
I just want to make sure we're doing okay. I'm not trying.
Nope.
Seriously, I'm just telling there was a bill out there, and it was based on school security.
Yep. And that's why I just wanted to let you know where the funding was coming from. It was already approved in the previous state aid budgets. So
what other questions are there in regards to the middle school PA system and or how to address, oddly enough, that wasn't a pun, the middle school PA system?
I'm a rules person.
Okay. What's next?
What was your last statement?
So we have the PA system. Tom has, talked about it. He did ask us to put it on the agenda, so it is on the regular board meeting agenda. Darla, per your question, I believe that's a good question about what part of the Robert's rules do we follow or we don't follow. It's an interesting question. In the number of board meetings I've been a part of in my career, it really refers to what Scott's talking about. It's the decorum of how we operate and such that we need to make sure we're always adhering to board policy, because board policy is what governs us. Robert's rules are just the way that we function. It's not right. We're not violating a law. We're not violating something there. So how do we function as an organization? And so in that sense right there, it's you would have to, as a seven, really just recognize that the way tabling works, that, all right, well, then we won't table that, or I won't recommend table. We'll postpone it or do something different to buy us time on an item. But it's not something that would preclude you from making that step right there.
But you could table it. It's part of Robert's rules. So I just need to understand. Policies are separate from Robert's rules. Yep. Robert's rules are just how the meetings run, when you make motions, yep. how you vote on them, how you do all that. That's the essential of what my position here is. And all I'm doing is sharing what Robert's rules are. Yep. And this is a Robert's rule issue. This isn't a policy issue, because it's related to how a motion is dealt with from the board. Mm-hmm. So I think we should be clear on that right now. And so as a parliamentarian, if there are Robert's rules that we're not following, it would be beneficial to someone to tell me. I mean, like, I can't, if I'm doing my job and I say, hey, gang, there was a tabled motion and I looked into it and here's what that is, and I share that with you, you know, and you go, well, we're going to disregard that one. You know, let me know in advance so I don't spend hours trying to ensure that we're doing it properly. That would just be a courtesy, I would think.
I think it's carrying on. We have to set the rules down so everybody knows what they are, so that when something happens, we know what we're doing, so to speak.
But that's why
If we're not going to follow Robert's rules, well, let's let everybody know about that. If we are, let's everybody know about that. But I think that's scary. So, you know, we have to have some ground rules that everybody lives by. So maybe we should do that ASAP.
Well, the other part could be too, that is, what was the intent? For example, Larry, was the intent?
I don't know about the intent. Well, the intent probably has nothing to do with rules. I mean, you know.
Well, but did you know that by the intent that would kill it for the rest of the life of Monroe Public Schools?
Right. That's
what this intent.
It wouldn't have killed it if it would have been addressed in a timely manner, in a fashion, and put back on the agenda. It wouldn't have been killed.
So whose job is it to get it back on the next agenda? Is that parliamentarian?
Or no, I don't. I don't set.
That would have been Mr. Zimmerman and myself there, but I've never
You've never seen a tabled motion before?
Oh, I've seen tabled motions before, but I've not dealt with it to this degree.
I kind of feel like we were tricked.
I've never
felt. That's what I feel.
Well, but it's never. I've never seen to this degree that
two people felt like tabling it,
bring it back when there's more information.
And the rest of us didn't know.
And actually, if we go back to what it said right there, it said when that whole item was to be brought back when we were done with our singing fun walks and all that work right there.
Right.
Okay. Now, you're bringing this one up now only because of the urgency of having this put together in hopes that it can be installed sooner, just for that middle school.
Summer, yeah.
Per the reason it was tabled, we would have never met the requirements of Robert's rules, because we knew that it couldn't be, that those walks and everything done for the singing fund list, we know that wasn't going to be completed until the end of June, early July. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have happened in a two-week period there. So that when we even tabled it, we had no, and then the rationale for tabling it wouldn't have gotten us to this.
You could have brought it and taken it off the table in a timely fashion and addressed it in an appropriate manner. You could have voted to, there's a lot of things you could have done.
In the public that we have here, is
right.
My understanding of a table was it's tabled until we came back with them. I didn't realize that that Robert's rules states that you have to bring back in the next meeting.
Right. And we can even go back to the original motion. The original motion did not pass.
There was no roll call taken.
No, you don't need a roll call when the table's done. The original motion was a prior meeting that did not pass. The first time this motion was brought forward, it went down. And so the fact that it got brought back up is also a problem because there's no rule for bringing back the exact same motion that's already been voted on in the exact same manner and already declined. So we have another issue there in the fact that it brought back up, but we as a board continued with it bringing bought back up, and then it got tabled. So all I'm doing is trying to just follow the process, show where we need work, but I know right. We have to deal with it. We can't just say move on, or we have no rules.
I mean, we can say we're going to move on from now. I mean, we should say we're going to move on, or what do? Yeah. We're going to fold. We're never going to meet again. You know, we need to move on.
Yep.
And we need to move on in a timely fashion.
It's no, just on that motion.
Meeting at 7.
Yeah.
Just on that motion.
Yeah. And maybe before, like I say, before you start doing whatever not you're doing, it seems it's always wise to set the ground rules so everybody knows
right.
how to do yeah. things, what to do, what they're doing, etc. If you don't have the ground rules, it's hard really to make anybody function because, again, everybody has different thoughts on what's happening, and that doesn't work. So if we're not going to follow Robert's rules, fine. We'll say we're not going to do that.
Then we have to change the policy.
We have to change the policy at that point, yeah. But I mean, I think we have to set a rule so everybody lives by the same set of laws, so to speak. And until we do that, it's hard to do anything else.
I think that we can all agree that Robert's rules does bring order to the way we run meetings. It's just, I think a lot of us feel, or maybe half of us feel, or three-sevenths of us feel that we were tricked in tabling and now bringing it up in a different way, a different amount of money, a different build, one of the buildings instead of four buildings, and out of different funding. How is this the same motion? It's not.
But I think that goes to the point again that you have to set the ground rules. Until you set the ground rules,
I think the ground rules can be interpreted, amended, just as that says.
We could, and I think there's some kind of policy that says, you know, it's Robert rules is not mandated, but it's suggested.
Right.
Some the problem that you come into is that what if you don't have the law, so to speak, and you follow the policies and procedures of what happened in the past. In the past, we have always followed the Robert's rules. That's what brings us into a catch-22.
Well, actually, we didn't follow Robert's rules.
We don't follow Robert's rules.
When we made a mistake.
When did we make a mistake?
We just made we had to go back and correct a vote because we had all of the discussion and things. And then we had to go back and say, well, we didn't follow the protocol because we messed up on making the motion. So we had to go back and do all of that.
I don't think we made a mistake on the motion.
It was in a recent meeting. It was in one of our meetings in May.
I just don't recall it.
We had to go back. We had to acknowledge that we made a mistake as a board because we didn't follow the guidelines of the rules that we're referring to. And we had to go back and say that we didn't make that motion appropriately. We didn't follow protocol. And we acknowledge that we are learning as a board. We also acknowledge that we are not perfect as a board. And we went back and we fixed the errors that we made. Now, I'm not saying that you, I'm not saying.
I just would like to know when we did that.
That,
that would help me.
I will gladly bring that for you next meeting.
Only because, you know, again, all I'm doing is my job. I'm
all
just
this
sharing it.
Scattered talking. Going to end real quick.
Yeah.
So I've read Robert's rules.
Is that something we should do in a workshop?
If that's the direction we want to go, we can go that direction. Okay. But it's going to change a lot of how this board operates.
Mm-hmm. I think rules are like 9:15 bedtime. Rules are different for a lot of people. These rules happen to help us run our meetings in an orderly fashion. But they're just rules. We can change rules. We can adapt rules. We can adapt and amend.
I hope you really don't mean that.
What, that 9:15 bedtime?
That we can change rules anytime we want?
It's a procedure.
So
It's not law. We're not going to be thrown out of the room and taken to jail because we don't follow
Robert's rules.
A motion or tabling or voting.
I mean, I think we should all have the same set of rules and we should all follow them. Or don't nobody follow anything. Let's do what we want. But I mean, that's chaos.
But I also feel like we're trying to do black and white. I feel like these rules that we're talking about can be more of a guideline. It helps us establish decorum. It helps us establish practices that are well used in all of our processes. But it's also an area where it doesn't have to be we're perfect or we're awful. And in this particular case, I'm going to acknowledge, I thought tabling meant we can bring it back whenever we feel like at a later date. I wasn't aware as a board member that tabling had such a specific timeline attached to it, that if nobody adhered to that timeline of taking it off the table, that it would be dead in the water for the rest of the existence of this institution. I made a mistake in my understanding of what tabling was. And as a board member, I want to take accountability for the mistake that I made. I understand. But, like, I also was complicit.
We didn't know that we had to bring it back the next meeting.
My point is, I was also I was complicit with the idea of it being tabled at all. If I would have known what tabling actually entailed, I would have said, I refuse. I think tabling is a horrible idea. I would have interjected and said, I feel like we should postpone this. Or I feel like we should add this to our agenda for fill in the blank, whatever board meeting. So as a board member, I'm acknowledging that I made a mistake in my understanding. And I want to fix that, obviously, I will for the future. But I feel like, in my opinion, these Roberts rules are not a black and white thing. Because why would we use the word may if it's supposed to be black or white?
And you're right, Mary, because unless we have consistency, I mean, we're going to have chaos. I mean, we have that. And I know that, I mean, it's popular now that, hey, we'll just do what we want. If you like this law, we'll follow this one. If you like that one, you follow this one. But it's hard to operate as a body without a consistent set of rules. Just like you mentioned, if you would have known that, that's fine. I fully understand. So, I mean, we should somehow get that.
Let's hear what Scott has.
I'd like to offer the following.
Thank you.
A simple statement that reads as follows, and I hope I can read my own writing. The board follows Robert's rules to the best of its ability in order to help facilitate orderly discussion of agenda items. Policy does not dictate the use of Robert's rules of order. The board tabled an item with the understanding that a tabled item would provide the district time to provide further information. The board did not understand the official table of a motion requires that the item be killed if not taken up within the following meeting. I move that we acknowledge that the intent of the table was not to limit the time it took to learn and to act accordingly to ensure that the ideas of the district in this case be considered in the interest of our students and families.
As Mayor pointed out, there's a lot of interpretation there, and we have the same problem. In other words, we have Scott, you'll interpret it one way, Daryl, you interpret another way, Mary's interpreted a different way, Larry interprets a different way, I interpret a different way, Tom a different way, Carrie a different way. We don't know what we're doing. Let's face it, that's chaos.
But I actually read Robert's rules. I actually read Robert's rules.
Well, that's what we appointed your parliamentarian for.
Thank you.
But I mean, you know, until we have a consistent set of rules that everybody's going to follow and everybody's going to know what it means, it's hard to do anything.
I think we do. We aren't always experts. We don't always get it right.
No, but we have a consistent set of rules, and somebody can interpret those for us.
You don't follow the rules that drive you off a cliff, though, because the road's gone.
Well, that's true, but you don't kill a person just because you don't like them to stay, but that other person you will. I mean, you can't pick and choose, Scott. You have to be consistent.
It just makes my job be very difficult when I bring a rule to the table and, you know, it's okay, we're not going to follow that one. So I just need to know how to do my job, And this conversation has shown that it's very difficult for me to do my job when I present to you what the rules. So,
Tom, I support that this is a new concept that you're bringing forth. I appreciate your time in doing so, and we'll vote accordingly.
I do appreciate your time.
Yeah, just comments. I actually have taken a Roberts Rules class as well. And I think I agree with Darla that when you table something to the process, if you don't address it, it's killed.
I agree.
Postpone should have been the terminology. I think where Darla and I disagree is what constitutes a part of a motion versus a whole motion. I guess, and I need to do some more research on that to see if this constitutes a whole new motion versus considering bringing up part of the old motion. So,
but the original motion, as it was written, originally went down.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so it got brought up again. That is also a rules concern there as well.
Yeah.
It does seem like a little bit of research might go along here.
Take a look.
For everybody.
Okay. So it is 6:46. We will, during the regular meeting, talk about Trojan Build 5. Okay.
Sorry, I did look up Senate Bill 63, Darla, and that did pass May 8th. However, that provision is related to sinking fund millages passed on or after that date, which the security grant purchases out of the general fund via the State Aid Act. So that language doesn't apply there. I just
thank you for educating us. That's how it works. Thank you, Kathy.
So with that, we'll end the work session so we can... No, we need to. We've got high schoolers here, and we'll talk about the Trojan Build and during the regular board meeting.
Okay, so you want to end this meeting? That concludes this?
Yes.
Okay, that concludes the agenda. Can I get a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Yes.
Support?
Second.
Show of hands. This meeting is adjourned.
Get this out of here.